me again bid you welcome and express appreciation for your being here. We say it so often, but we say it sincerely. It's just good. It's good to get together. The lesson has to do with resolutions today. That seems to be the theme for many people this time of year. And years ago, I saw this article in the bulletin at the 61st Division Street Congregation by Brother McKenzie. And I thought, that'll make a good lesson on resolutions. So I took each of those resolutions that he put on the front page of his bulletin, and I thought, I'll just add to it, make some commentary, and that will give us our lesson. And so that's where the thoughts came from. I also saw in the newspaper in the comic section where these two men were talking. One of them has a bowl of ice cream, looks like, in his hand. And his friend says to him, "I thought you made a resolution to go on a diet." His friend holding the ice cream says, "I did, but you cannot start a diet on New Year's Day. Everyone snacks during the parades and games, and it always takes a few weeks to finish off the holiday goodies and the leftovers. And then comes the Super Bowl, Valentine's Day, Easter. You know, I never start my New Year's resolutions until after Cinco de Mayo." So I thought, that's the way I sometimes look at it. Another one, the one person says to the other, "What are you going to give up for New Year's?" He says, "Resolutions." In the text that was read to us, Joshua has led his people into the promised land. And now he's asking the people to make a resolution. And after he says, me and my house, my resolution is we're going to serve the Lord. And then the people together make a resolution in verse 16. They said, "God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods." So that was their resolutions. We will serve God. By definition, if you make a resolution, it means you've come to a decision. You're going to set a goal. I'm going to aim at a stated purpose. Or I'm going to commit myself to something. In other words, a resolution is a determination. For many people, it's a formal statement of intent. This is what I'm going to do. Or it means I'm going to be resolute or firm or fixed on an outcome. I'm going to make a resolution. So we're going to suggest some things in our lesson this morning from Brother McKenzie's outline about resolutions. I know many people make them, and they wait sometime till the New Year's Day to make the resolution. I'm going to make myself better this coming year, in general. Many resolutions are forgotten rather quickly. But the sentiment is there. My desire is, I want to, I intend to. Many times people are really ready for a change, and resolutions sometimes stick. So let's take a look at these that Brother McKenzie, he titled his, "Gifts That All of Us Can Give All Year Long, Resolutions." Number one, he said, keep a promise. The verse that he listed in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 or 37 says, "Let your communication be yea, yea, or nay, nay." In other words, yes or no. "For whatsoever is more than these comes from evil." So what Jesus is saying in your resolution, follow through on what you're going to do, or what you said you would do. The message is, the resolution is, I'm going to make good my word. Remember the old phrase, I know many of you do, people would say, your word is your bond. And that was good. And people would hold to that. Just give me your word.
That's right.
Let your yes be yes and your no, no. You know, you don't have to make a promise and end it up with, you know, I'll put my hand on a stack of Bibles. No, no, just let your word be your bond. If I say yes, that's what I mean, or no. It means you can be counted upon to do what you said you would do. That's a resolution. If I say I'm going to do something, yeah, that's I'm going to finish that. I'm going to do it. I'm going to keep a promise, number one. Number two, Brother McKenzie made his list. He says, let someone have the last word. And I put in my notes, the reference is to God. Let God have the last word, because he uses this verse to support his resolution. It's in James chapter 1, verse 19. And James says, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Brother McKenzie's comment was, develop a listening skill. But in the context of the verse, it has reference to God's word. Be quick to hear God's word. Be slow to wrath. I've heard people say to me over the years, so you need to listen. Yeah. Or they might say, might ask me the question, are you listening to me? Or sometimes I've even heard people say, I know you heard my words, but you didn't listen to what I said. Oh, yeah. But when James says, be quick to hear, the context of the verse says that we ought to be anxious to hear God's word. Be quick to hear what God has to say. Let God have the last word. Yeah. God, after all is said and done and all the discussion is made, what's your words on this? Be quick to hear what God says. Then the next one was slow to speak, James said. And the context of being slow to speak is be slow to speak back at God. Be slow to show your displeasure at the teachings of what God says. God, I want to be quick to hear and slow to talk back at you. And then the next one, James says, be slow to wrath. Meaning, don't be hasty in being angry at God's word when God's word tells you the truth. I want to be quick to hear God, what you have to say. I want to be slow to speak back. I want to be slow with my displeasure at what you just said. And I don't want to be angry at what you said. That's the comment. That's the resolution. Let God have the last word. The third... Numbers 3 and 4 kind of go hand in hand. It says, listen to a child and listen to an adult. When he said, listen to a child, I think he says that, or Brother McKenzie says, because that's what the Lord does. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 5, Jesus gathers his disciples around and he gathers a child up front. Brings the child closer. And Jesus says, and whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name receives me. Oh. And Mark records it in Mark chapter 10, verse 16. He took them, meaning the child, the children, up into his arms and put his hands on them and blessed them. Children. You and our two granddaughters visit. We visit them. They greet us at the door, and usually there's a toy in their hand or something. And they can't wait to tell us about what they have. And so we greet them with hugs and a hi and a hello and how are you, and then we have to stoop down and let's talk about what you have. Listen to a child. Listen to a child. Take time to make it from home. Take time to talk to the children in the congregation. Learn their names. Eli and Evie. Oh, now Brian and Marcy, you brought the girls and I can't remember their names. All right, Brian, speak up.
Caitlin.
Caitlin, oh yeah, that's right.
Mackenzie.
And Mackenzie.
And Lily.
And what?
Lily.
Lily. Well, I should have asked Carol to see if she knew. All right, Brian, you got it. You passed the test. Listen to a child. And then Brother McKenzie said, listen to an adult. His comment was, you may learn something. But I think he means, listen to a teacher. It wasn't meant to be an insult. Because of the verse that Brother McKenzie mentioned to this resolution. Listen to an adult. Here's the verse. It's in Acts chapter 10, verse 33. It's when Peter is preaching at the household of Cornelius. And here it says, the verse begins, immediately therefore I, meaning Cornelius, sent to you, Simon Peter, and you've done well that you've come. Now therefore we are all here present before God to hear all the things that are commanded of you, of God. Oh, listen to an adult. That's similar to our situation here when we have a worship assembly or a Bible class. It's time to listen to what the teacher has prepared to present to us as students. That's what's happened. Cornelius says, Simon, I've sent for you. You've come. We're all here. We want to hear what God has commanded you to say. And that's my task. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, preach the word. My task is, God, what do you have in your word that I can present to the people who are gathered here? What can I say? So we're here to hear all the things that are commanded of God. That's that resolution. Listen to an adult, to the teacher that has made those preparations, has studied God's word, and wants to make that delivery. We have our Bible classes too, a time of Bible study, that we can learn something and listen to the teacher who's made that preparation to present a message or a lesson from God's word. Listen to an adult. Listen to children. Listen to an adult. Number five is, let someone in line in front of you. It doesn't hurt to be kind. That happened to me not very long ago. I was at the grocery store and I'm in line. I just had two things in my hand. There was somebody in front of me that had quite a few more things in a shopping cart. And just happened to look back and see me standing there. Of course, I'm going like this. But then, would you go ahead? Really? You're going to be kind to me? Yeah. Or when you're on the freeway. People are changing lanes, it's a crowded freeway, and you let someone in line in front of you. Yeah. Usually when we're going on a trip and going through Los Angeles or someplace else up through the valley, and I don't try to keep a safe distance between the car in front of me, but sure enough somebody comes up the other side and they cut right in. And my first comment is, I didn't leave that space for you to cut in front of me. It was for my safety. But go ahead. Come ahead. Let someone in line in front of you. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, love is very patient and is kind. Resolution? Love is patient and kind. Kind. So that's the gift Brother McKenzie mentioned in his resolutions. Yeah. Let someone in line in front of you. Number six, he said, keep a secret. He gives the verse in James chapter 3, verse 2. He says, in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in a word, the same's a perfect man. Oh, don't offend in word. He put that verse for keep a secret. You know, I think there's going to be times in your life and mine. I think my parents always zip it. Sometimes look, they knew I was going to say something, looking at me, and, didn't say anything, just gives that motion. Or ever have anybody say to you, bite your tongue. Don't say it. Bite your tongue. Put a clothespin on your lips. All those signals. Don't say it. Keep a secret. I remember someone told me, they wanted to tell me a secret, and they said, now, Brian, this is not for publication. Well, then don't tell me. This is not for publication. Then sometimes they'll even ask me ahead of time, can you keep a secret? And then they proceed to tell me. I can't wait to tell somebody else, so I have to ask somebody else, can you keep a secret? Now they come sometimes, or they'll precede the comment by saying, promise not to tell anybody that I told you. Okay. Keep a secret. I heard a short poem that said, if your lips would keep from slips, five things observe with care, of whom you speak, to whom you speak, and how and when and where. Keep a secret. Keep a secret. That's a resolution. Number 7 and 8 go together. Once Brother McKenzie said, say something nice to someone you like. And then number 8, say something nice to someone you don't like. When you say something nice to someone you like, he had verse Ephesians 4, verse 29. Let no corrupt speech proceed out of your mouth, but do that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. So if we're going to be, if our resolution is I want to say something nice to someone, it means I'm going to give you words that will build you up or lift you up or encourage you or inspire hope in you or to give you cheer, or it means to give support. I want to say something nice to you that will be encouraging and will bring cheer to you. That's a resolution. I want to say something nice to someone. Then or someone that you like. And then the next one, say something nice to someone you don't like. Brother McKenzie's comment was this, and I put it in your notes. Spirit-led Christians allow the Spirit of God to deal with fleshly inclinations. You see, that fleshly side of us, or that natural man says, I'm not going to say something nice to someone I don't like. That fleshly side of us says, I don't like them, never have. I'm mad at them. I'm not even going to talk to them. Oh, but the resolution is say something nice to somebody you don't like. Colossians 4, verse 6 says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you'll know how to answer every man. In Galatians 5, verse 16, it says, this I say, walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust thereof. I don't want to say something nice to somebody, but if I walk in the Spirit, I will. Somebody say something. I want to say something nice to somebody I don't like. In Galatians 5, 25, live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. Yeah, that's the Spirit. Yeah. Of course, now if I say something nice to you, you're going to wonder, is Brian saying that because he likes me or doesn't like me? Say something nice to somebody you like and to somebody you don't like. Number 9 is smile more and frown less. Brother McKenzie said in his notes, a pleasing disposition will draw others closer to you. I would add to that, it'll also make other people wonder what you're up to. You're smiling? What are you up to? I heard somebody say it takes 88 muscles to frown and only 16 to smile. All right, try frowning. You're using 88 muscles to put a sad face on. 16? How easy that is? Yeah. smile more. In Ephesians 4, verse 31, it says, let all the bitterness and the wrath and the anger and the clamor and the evil speaking be put away from you. That's the gift I want. I want to be encouraging to others. That's my resolution. I want to, the gift I want to bestow upon others, and my resolution is to make and keep making my speech more loving, keep making my speech more gracious and uplifting. Then the last one, give people your best. He said, somehow the best will be returned to you. That's the golden rule, isn't it? Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. Therefore, all the things whatsoever that you would that men should do to you, do even also to them. If you want others to give their best to you, give your best to them. That gift is not just merely a good idea. Jesus concluded it, whatever things that you would that men should do to you, do unto them. That's the law and the prophets. So if we behave badly with others, do we really want others to treat us that way? No. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10, whatsoever your hand finds to do, you do it with all your might. Yeah, give your best. Whatever your hand finds to do, give it your best. Of course, the best gift and the best resolution is to become a Christian if you're not, have not done so already. And that's the invitation we extend. Always at the close of a lesson, you're subject to that invitation to become a Christian. The last words of Jesus before he ascended back to the Father, in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel or good news to everybody. Tell everybody that God so loves the world, loved the world, he sent his son. Tell everybody. And then he concluded it by saying, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He says, I want you to go and preach a gospel, good news, salvation message. Those that hear it and believe it and turn toward it and are baptized, salvation. Salvation. That's the invitation we extend always at the close of a lesson. If you've not obeyed that salvation message already, you have that opportunity. We're going to sing a song of encouragement, a song of invitation, a song of exhortation. If you want to, if that's your resolve, that's your desire, if you've not done so already, you have that opportunity right now. So let's stand together. We'll sing the song that Dennis has selected for us. If that's your desire, your resolution, to be baptized for remission of sins, just simply come and let your request be made known at the close of this song.